Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Before we begin today's show, we wanted to let you know that in the last hour, we just heard that all but three Senate Republicans voted to pass the Trump administration's massive bill to cut taxes for the ultra-wealthy and slash a wide range of social services, including Medicaid and food stamps. Three Republicans, Senators Susan Collins of Maine, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and Rand Paul of Kentucky, joined every Democrat to vote against this bill, and J.D. Vance had to cast the tie-breaking vote. The bill now goes back to the House, and they might possibly vote on it tomorrow, and so we will most likely change tomorrow's show to talk about this bill, because so much is at stake. A number of analyses out there say that people will actually die because of these Medicaid cuts. So we will change tomorrow's show to bring you the latest. Today, we are talking about budget cuts at the state level. We've been doing a lot of shows about these critical helplines over the past couple of years. And on Friday, California lawmakers approved a budget that includes rollbacks for a number of crucial policies in the state. And that includes $78 million in funding for mental health phone lines. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been doing shows about the Warm Line and the Parent and Youth Helpline. These are vital resources that help hundreds of thousands of people across the state of California. The Mental Health Association of San Francisco's Warm Line is a 24/7 free peer-run mental health line that helps people dealing with a wide range of challenges, including anxiety, depression, and substance abuse. The Warm Line has answered over 600,000 calls, texts, and chats since 2019, and helps to prevent 14,400 ER visits per year, reducing the burden on crisis systems like 911. And that saves the California health system $93 million every year. The Warm Line had a record-breaking month in May, reaching over 41,000 contacts. They had an increase in calls related to immigration. Under the new budget, the Warm Line will operate on $5 million instead of the needed $20 million it takes to run the organization. The 24/7 Warm Line number is 855-600-9276. Mark Salazar is president and CEO of the Mental Health Association of San Francisco, which runs the Warm Line. Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Rose. Thank you for having me on again.
Great to have you. The Parents Anonymous's California Parent and Youth Helpline is a free line that's available from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday. It provides support for caregivers, parents, children, and youth. The new state budget has entirely redlined funding for this helpline, which operates in over 80% of California counties and has helped hundreds of thousands of people across the state over the past 5 years. A complete budget cut for the helpline not only eliminates access to the state's only evidence-based, no-cost emotional support helpline for parents and youth, but it also forces the helpline and the free weekly online support groups it runs to possibly be shut down entirely. The Parent and Youth Helpline number is 855-427-2736. According to Parents Anonymous, the state legislature proposed $3 million for the organization in last year's budget proposal, but as of last Tuesday, they were made aware that Governor Gavin Newsom redlined their total budget, and they say this came as a shock. Today, we're joined once again by Dr. Lisa Payan Berlin, CEO of Parents Anonymous. They oversee the California Parent and Youth Helpline. Hi, Dr. Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having us, Rose.
Well, it's great to have you. Dr. Lisa, can you start by giving us an update now that the final budget has been released?
Well, what it means is that we're holding on by a thread. We can hold on for a little while, but the tens of thousands of people who call the helpline. And remember, this helpline is directed to parents who are worried about their own mental health, their own circumstances, as well as their children of all ages. And we talk to young people up to the age of 25. We also can communicate this evidence-based emotional support by trained counselors, which is very unique, which we launched in partnership with the governor and the Department of Social Services 5 years ago when the pandemic started. But as we know, the impact and the fact that people need to reach out and get support easily and accessibly without blame and shame is critical to their well-being and mental health. It's not just the impact of COVID, it's the impact of immigration, it's the impact of the economy. A study just came out that said a third of the parents are totally stressed out this summer because of the costs that they're faced to help their children do safe activities in the summertime, as well as the pressures of work, economics, food prices, gas prices, et cetera. We're the only line that focuses in this state, and it's been totally zeroed out. The governor can put it back in, and as well as the legislature can put it back in, because these life-saving, we deal with life-saving issues. People call us if they're suicidal. People call us if they're just overwhelmed. We have kids as young as six texting us about problems in school, bullying, isolation, loneliness, which lead to all kinds of mental health and substance abuse problems. And Parents Anonymous groups, I just want to say, are proven effective to improve parenting, improve mental health, reduce substance abuse, and ensure child safety, according to the federal government. And we're the only program of that kind which deal with parents of children of any age and any family structure. So we have no barriers for that. And those online groups will eventually go away.
Wow. Kids as young as six text you?
Exactly, about all kinds of issues that they're afraid to share with somebody else. So building that trust with people that we're not the government and we sit outside of the governmental system, but the government supports it. And I want to make a shout out, Rose, I don't know this time, that I'm calling on all the wealthy philanthropists in this state, foundations, et cetera, and employers who need to step up. You employ parents, young people, and grandparents and aunties and many people. Our universe is about half the population of California. There are 4.5 million children of school age, and there are five-year-olds who can text. And there are about another 10 million parents and other caregivers who are raising children in this state who need support, and they need evidence-based emotional support. Yes, they might be reach out to a neighbor or a friend. That's great. But trained counselors offer a different level of intervention. And we have research to prove the impact. And Dr. Liz Harris is here to talk about that, which is very rare. Helplines don't often have the ability to do any research or to prove do they make an impact, which I think is vital in the work that we do. It saves lives every day. We save lives. And what's going to happen to that safety net? And what we do crosses the mental health system, the disabilities, the healthcare, the education. Schools are constantly calling us when they have a threat of a shooting or a threat of a fentanyl overdose. The schools are calling us, giving out our number to young people and their parents, and so that everybody in the family has a way to reach out to get that kind of help.
Dr. Lisa, you said that the governor and the legislature could add funding back to the bill. What is the deadline for people who want to call in and make their voices heard about this?
Well, today is the first day of the fiscal year. So doing it today, yesterday or before, we had 180 parents write handwritten letters about their experience, which we sent to the legislature and the governor back in the fall. Doing it now, having your voice heard. People who've gotten help from the helpline have emailed us, but we, for confidentiality, we cannot share their information. But using your program and other means to let people know that this is really vital. It's life-saving, and it doesn't affect the budget. I want to make that point. This money was taken out of the Behavioral Health Services Fund, and if you look it up, that's a fund that sits outside of the general revenues, aka it does not impact the deficit. And that's where the legislature decided to take the money out of, because that fund has billions of dollars for mental health, prevention, treatment, you name it, which is everything we do. And then it was taken out of there again. It was taken out of that fund, but the governor zeroed that out.
Dr. Lisa Payan-Berlin is CEO of Parents Anonymous. They oversee the California Parent and Youth Helpline. As she just laid out there, kids as young as six are texting this helpline for help. There are a lot of people are suffering out there. And what's so important about these helplines is it stops a crisis. So people could easily call 911. A lot of people don't want to do that. These helplines stop crises, and they're so incredibly important. And that is why we've been doing so many shows about them. We're also joined by Mark Salazar, president and CEO of the Mental Health Association of San Francisco. They run the Warm Line. Mark, you all had a record-breaking month in May, reaching over 41,000 contacts. The increase in calls is related to immigration. People are so afraid right now. Can you give us an update on how this budget is going to affect the Warm Line?
Yeah, I mean, what, you know, Dr. Payan was saying earlier, all these situational events, these societal events have kind of pushed us into these record-breaking numbers. And now with the budget cuts, you know, this 41,000 contacts that we're seeing will likely come down. I mean, we're only able to get about to 70 or 80% of these contacts, so 25,000, 30,000 calls are what we're able to take at this current budget, which is we're operating at $15 million. But with this budget cut all the way down to actually 4.2 or 4.5 from our understanding, the total staffing we can have will only allow us to get to about 50,000 or less calls for the whole year. So that leaves out the 200,000 contacts or more that we got this year, and we projected actually almost 500,000 contacts next year or this coming year if we had the $15 to $20 million budget. And so right now we are having to kind of reorganize ourselves. You know, like Parents Anonymous, part of our budget is heavily relied on ensuring that we have these programs and these services, and many other programs rely on that support as well within the community because we do outreach and engagement there. We rely on these programs so that we can kind of be preventative support. So from now through the next 6 months, we have to reorganize and understand what the impact is. You know, we have a staff of 160 folks just for the Warm Line alone. And we're now having to look at bringing that all the way down to a staff of 40. And that's a lot of folks at this point.
And before we talk about just how important these helplines are, there is a study out there that we're going to talk about with Dr. Elizabeth Harris in just a few minutes. I'm afraid that even hearing this news is causing people to stress out because we do a lot of shows about mental health. As you both know, it is so hard to find a therapist who takes insurance. If you change jobs, we had people call who say, I had a great therapist, I changed jobs, now I don't know what to do. It's really hard to get help. And that's why what you both and your teams do is so critical. And so, Mark, for people listening who possibly rely on these helplines, what would you tell them about what resources will be available in the coming months, given these budget cuts?
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier in the show, most folks who call us and call the Parents Anonymous line and various other Warm Lines, they don't call us because they want to call 988 or, you know, 911. They avoid those calls because they're not in crisis. They don't feel like they need to use that high level of support. And so for us, we don't know where to send them because, again, it's not only a cut to our Warm Line services or Parents Anonymous or all these helplines, but it's a cut across the board for a lot of programs. And we're going to overwhelm the current system that can't take all these calls right now. And so, like, you know, you mentioned earlier some of the statistics that we kind of worked on. Imagine 14,000 folks just joining the system out of nowhere. That'll overburden any local system at this point. And so we're trying to figure out how to be a useful resource with this humongous cutback. We are trying to develop online resources for folks, but this large cut is just something we are not sure if folks are going to turn to, because again, they do not want to call 911 or 988. They want to use a community service that's outside of the government scope, like Dr. Lisa was saying. And so we're working on that at this point.
Dr. Lisa, what would you say to people who are concerned about what resources will be available because of these cuts?
Well, we're still open. And so we want people to continue to call us and text us. We call everybody back. We follow up on every call. What Mark said is so true. People are afraid of calling 911, and maybe that's not appropriate. They can call us about any issue. We don't pass people off because we have trained master's level and above counselors who can handle any kind of call. We stay with people as long as they need to, and they can call us back as many times as possible. We are still alive right now. We are still open for 24/7 because we also run the National Parent and Youth Helpline. So we have a national line that can help cover and help because Californians live in California right now. But together, you know, we get most of our traffic in California. We're not turning them away right now. But the cuts are real, and we know these things make people feel more anxious and concerned, and we are here for you. You can also go to our website, Rose, and I'm sure Mark can talk about that, on caparentyouthhelpline.org. We have meditations up there in Spanish and English. So if you are anxious, there are resources, not just to read, but to experience. Meditation is so helpful to people, and it's something you can simply do. And it does help people ground themselves, deal with anxiety and other kinds of things over the long term. And it's very research-based. So there are help. We are not going anywhere right now. So we are raising the flag about this because it's going to be very tough to continue without the state as a partner. But again, I call upon the foundations, the employers who employ thousands of employees who are using our line and other lines. If you want that safety net there for your employees, you talked about going to a therapist. People wait 6 months or more, even when they have insurance, let alone the cuts in Medi-Cal coming for mental health services. And also wanted to let you know that Antonia and Ricky are here.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That is Dr. Lisa Payan Berlin, CEO of Parents Anonymous. They oversee the California Parent and Youth Helpline. Mark Salazar is president and CEO of the Mental Health Association of San Francisco. They run the Warm Line. And on Friday, California lawmakers approved the budget. It calls for a $78 million funding cut for these crucial mental health phone lines. These are lines that people call if they just need someone to talk to. They might not want to call 911 or 988 because they're not yet in a crisis. And the incredible people who work for these lines do whatever they can to make sure that a crisis does not happen. And that is why they are so crucial. If you have any questions for our guests, if you have used these helplines, if you'd like to talk about the bigger question, You always hear Governor Gavin Newsom say that we are the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world. So why is the state cutting funding for these crucial lifelines? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We are going to hear from a parent and a teen who have used the California Parent and Youth Helpline. But before we do that, we want to speak with Dr. Elizabeth Harris, who led a study of 281 helpline calls from parents to the California Parent and Youth Helpline. She led a peer-reviewed study published in the Journal of Technology and Human Services, and it showed 85% of callers experienced improved mood and reduced stress within a single call, proving its effectiveness. The study found that in just 30 minutes, overwhelmed parents left the call feeling stronger, calmer, and less alone. Hi, Dr. Harris. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us more about your study? And at a time when so many people are really suffering, can you talk about the importance of a helpline like the California Parent and Youth Helpline?
Well, I want to start off by talking about why it's so important to focus on parents. Of course, there are many people who have needs for emotional support, but parents are in a particularly difficult position right now in our society. Right after the pandemic, research started coming out showing that the mental health of parents and mothers in particular was worse than it had ever been. And increasingly, parents in our society are very isolated. They don't necessarily live near or with extended family who can support them in the task of parenting. Our expectations of parents keep going up and up and up. And yet the resources that are available in the community to support parents keep going down. So in that context, it's really important to have some kind of very readily available service that parents can use at the moment when they are stressed, at the moment when they feel deeply isolated, at the moment when they feel like they have nowhere to go. And I think that that ability to meet parents in the moment when they are really struggling is why helplines are such an important part of the parenting support system.
And like I said, after the break, we're going to hear from Antonia Rios and her son, Ricky, who have used the line. It is incredible to think that in just 30 minutes, overwhelmed parents left the call feeling stronger, calmer, and less alone. I mean, we've all been there where you're just, it's almost like, I can't take it anymore. I just need someone to talk to. And maybe I don't want to talk to a partner or a friend. I need a professional. I just need to talk to someone who knows nothing about me, who will listen. Can you just talk about the power of that 30-minute call?
So one of the things that has happened in our society is we increasingly are at home and we interact with machines and with AI, and we don't interact with other humans. We don't have other people hearing us, validating our feelings, letting us express the feelings that we have about parenting that may not be 100% positive. And so one of the things that's powerful about this model, based on the qualitative research that my colleague did, is that people get validated. So they have an opportunity to say, these are the feelings I'm having, and to have someone else say, we hear you, we understand what those feelings are. And once they've had that experience, then they're in a better place to start doing kind of solution focused work. But they have to be heard initially. So I think that that's a really important piece of what goes on. You know, I have to say, I was actually surprised by the results as well. In research, short of doing a randomized controlled trial, the best way to determine that something works is to test it in multiple different ways and see if you keep getting the same answer. And what we found with our study was that when we looked at rate of speech, when people first called the helpline, they were speaking twice as fast on average as they were speaking at the end of the call. And we all know when you're angry, you talk fast, and when you're nervous, you talk fast. So we could literally measure changes in that biological state of how fast, by looking at how fast people speak. And then we did a qualitative analysis where we looked at what people talked about. And we discovered that they talked a lot about being lonely and isolated. So that's how we were able to see that they felt less lonely because somebody heard them and somebody spoke to them. And finally, we used machine learning to do what's called sentiment analysis, so we could actually look at changes in mood over the course of the calls. And so all three of those very different methods all pointed in the same direction, which is that there's something fundamental that people need when they call these services that is met by the validation and by the emotional support. Now, I just want to say one other important thing about our findings here, which is this is a helpline that uses people who have at least a master's degree in a field related to mental health in some way. I don't know whether I would have found the same things, and or whether my colleagues and I would have found the same things if we had been looking at a helpline that's run just by peers or a different kind of model. But here, I think that the availability of somebody who knows how to reflect back and be supportive clearly was effective for the people who called in.
Yeah, that's it's incredible. And in some ways also not surprising, because people need someone to talk to, and knowing that someone is going to answer is also just so helpful. That's why these resources are so crucial. Dr. Elizabeth Harris led a study of 281 helpline calls from parents to the California Parent and Youth Helpline. They found that in just 30 minutes, overwhelmed parents left the call feeling stronger, calmer, and less alone. Mark, before we go to break, your organization, the Mental Health Association of San Francisco, runs the Warm Line. Have you all conducted any studies like this, or have you done any just research asking people what happened after they accessed the Warm Line?
Yeah. So there are studies out there around warm lines that kind of have the same results as Dr. Harris's study, where there is a significant decrease in distress during the call. So there's studies out there. We've done a study and survey ourselves on a scale of like 1 to 5. Folks have decreased their distress and anxiety level by a percentage, a significant percentage, I think a 1.2. I can't recall exactly right now in terms of their distress as well. So again, from my perspective, any access to someone who listens to you and that you can relate with and talk with about your challenges and your situations help out in the long run, be it Parents Anonymous, be it our warm line, be it any other warm line or helpline. If you have properly trained individuals, we can help folks that call for any number of reasons. And I think that's the importance of this. All of us on this call, everyone part of this helpline service, we are a humongous safety net that's helping people stay out of crisis. And, you know, we call on these philanthropists and these employers that we are ensuring mental health support that's being subsidized by the public. And now that this support is gone, where do these folks go? Where do these therapists go? And so, I mean, you know, these calls go to therapists, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, like, you know, Dr. Harris says, and Dr. Lisa is saying, it's these things that we work together on that help reduce stress and anxiety and all these things. And now these services are gone or reduced to a degree, right?
We're going to take a quick break. That is Mark Salazar, president and CEO of the Mental Health Association of San Francisco, which runs the Warm Line. Dr. Lisa Payan Berlin is CEO of Parents Anonymous, which oversees the California Parent and Youth Helpline. These are critical helplines in the state that prevent people from calling 911 and 988. They reach people before they go into crisis and they prevent crisis. Dr. Liz Harris led a study of 281 helpline calls from parents to the California Parent and Youth Helpline. It showed 85% of callers experienced improved mood and reduced stress with a single call. And we should also say these are free helplines. And you can find more information at KALW.org, click news, and then your call. Coming up after a break, we'll hear from Antonio Rios and her son Ricky. They have used the California Parent and Youth Helpline. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to change our show to talk about the Trump administration's bill that would cut taxes for the wealthy, further cut taxes for the wealthy, and slash a wide range of social services, including Medicaid and food stamps. All but 3 Senate Republicans voted to pass this bill. It now goes to the House, and so we will be talking about this tomorrow. Today, we are talking about critical health lines in California. California lawmakers approved a budget that includes rollbacks for a number of critical policies, including a $78 million cut in funding for mental health phone lines. We're joined by Mark Salazar, president and CEO of the Mental Health Association of San Francisco. They run the Warm Line. Dr. Lisa Payan Berlin is CEO of Parents Anonymous. They oversee the California Parent and Youth Helpline. Dr. Elizabeth Harris led a study of 281 calls from parents to the California Parent and Youth Helpline. 85% said it drastically improved their mood. And joining us now to talk about an experience with the California Parent and Youth Helpline are Antonia Rios and her son, Ricky. Antonia is a mom and a grandmother who experienced the foster system when she was a child. Ricky is a recent high school graduate. and he turned to the helpline for support in dealing with mental health challenges, including suicidal ideation, which he faced in high school. Hi, Antonia and Ricky. Thank you so much for joining us to share your stories.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Antonia, let's start with you. How did you first learn about the California Parent and Youth Helpline?
I was a participant in the groups and truly benefited from that. I suffer and deal with mental health and substance use abuse. And because of the groups and the helpline, I have been able to stay clean for 19 years.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you tell us more about your experience with the support groups?
Yes. So I can tell you in like 30 seconds, struggling with child molestation from 4 to 10 and being raped on my 13th birthday, dealing with domestic violence and being held captive, beaten and raped. I struggled tremendously and I could not stay clean. And it wasn't until I went into the groups that I got the support that I needed in a safe space where I was not being judged or criticized or belittled. I was being surrounded by other parents that had experienced something similar or, you know, dealing with mental health or just substance use. And with that, I was able to maintain my mental health and my sobriety and be able to get my children back and stay clean. The helpline is one that I have to say is like no other. I was able to get the support that I needed on a daily basis to where I can function. I can become a productive member of my community and be able to give back to those that I come in contact with and also be a better mother for my children and to teach them to reach out and get the help that they need. And, you know, I have 7 kids. So we, you know, we were able to manage everything we were dealing with all these years and continue to utilize the helpline. I don't think without that helpline, I would be here today. I struggled myself with suicidal ideation and had some attempts, and it was the helpline that saved my life. Yes.
That's incredible. When you searched for resources out there, Antonia, what did you find? I mean, I'm so glad you found the Parent and Youth Helpline and these online support groups. But before you found this, what was out there?
Do you want me to be frank?
Please.
Okay. So there were groups out there that failed parents like myself who judged us and belittled us and treated us like crap. There were helplines or warm lines, whatever you want to call them, that honestly did not give me the support in a safe space to where I can process my trauma. Being given a time limit and being asked to wait before I can call back, things like that. And then very bland support is what I got, to be honest. It wasn't until I got into the groups and utilize the California Parent and Youth Helpline that I was really being heard and supported. And they even reached back out. I don't know anyone else that reaches back out to make sure that the service they provided really benefited me, not them. I wasn't just another number to add on their, you know, to make sure they continued their funding. I was a human, a parent, an individual that needed support, and they wanted to make sure that I got the support that I needed. So years I struggled with addiction and mental health, and it wasn't until the California Parent and Youth Helpline and the groups that I got the support that I honestly needed. And because of that, here I am, 19 years clean and a productive member of my society.
Incredible. And what was your response when you heard about these budget cuts?
I was heartbroken. I was angry because I feel, you know, it's very sad. We're in a community, we're in a society where they want to provide support, but it's all a front. It's just about money. And if they really wanted to support parents, children, and youth, they wouldn't hesitate to triple whatever they were going to be asking for to make sure that they provided the services and continue to provide it. So many lives have been saved, not just mine, my son, my daughter, some family members that I know, but a lot of community members. And in my children's school, I know for a fact there are four kids whose lives were saved by using the California Parent and Youth Helpline. Wow. One, actively, they're ready to do what they were gonna do. I'm not gonna say what they were planning on doing, but because of that, she is here today. Mm. So, you know, I know the California Parent and Youth Helpline is so vital to every parent, child, and youth in California.
That is Antonia Rios. She's there with her son, Ricky. They have both used the California Parent and Youth Helpline, and Antonia has benefited greatly from the support groups they run. Ricky, thank you so much for joining us to share your story. Can you tell us a bit about what you dealt with in high school? And, you know, I was just thinking, Ricky, we often talk about what kids deal with, but we rarely talk with kids about what they deal with. So what would you like to share with us?
I had a really hard time getting along with my family members. And throughout my years of using the helpline, it really helped me get closer to my family and really get along with them. And understand that they're the only ones that I have.
Can you tell us a bit about whatever you'd like to share, just about the conversations and just how it sounds like they were so effective? What was it about those conversations that helped you so much?
About the
counselors.
The counseling.
I really like how the counselors work because they really listened to me and understood what I was going through. And they really took their time to help me figure things out and just get through it. Now, things that most people just throw to the side. And I really didn't think much of it, but they really helped me, throughout my life. And that's why I'm here.
Have you been able to find any help at school?
No. At school, they really just kept ignoring me and just throwing me to the side, like not really caring, even though I was asking for help and stuff. And they, the helpline also helped me graduate. It just kept my mindset focused on work and not just on random things, which I honestly did not think I was going to graduate this year because I was like 2 years behind of work. And it just really helped me focus and lock in and get my stuff done and now I'm graduated and done with school.
That's amazing. Congratulations, Ricky. Did you always call the line or did you also text?
Oh, yeah, I always called because I liked the conversations that I had with the people.
And what did that do to your mental health just knowing that you could call this line 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday and someone was going to answer and talk with you and listen?
And just always calling and them answering, it really just helped me just keep calling because I know they'll answer and they'll be there for me and help me. And yeah, it really just helped.
And Ricky, what was your response when you heard about these budget cuts?
I was just surprised on what was going on and all of this. I was just like, just surprised.
Yeah. Antonia, it's incredible to hear that Ricky saying that the line actually helped him graduate. I mean, it helped him deal with family issues. He had suicidal ideation during high school. I mean, is it safe to say that this saved your son's life?
Oh, I know it saved my son's life. Uh-huh. And it supported him where we couldn't. You know, it's everyone says you have family, you have this, you have friends, but sometimes it's family and friends that you don't need them to put in their, I don't know, two cents, I guess. What you truly need is a listening ear and some support in a way that's going to help you emotionally, mentally, so that you can do the physical things. We could push him and push him and push him, you know, to get his schoolwork done and to push through his mental health struggles. But the emotional support, it comes from a helpline with California Parent and Youth, where their counselors are kind, gentle, compassionate, soft-spoken, and using their evidence-based, strategies. Those, I love going on the website and looking at the little meditation rooms, being able to use that with my grandchildren. You know, I have grandson who is 3, and he literally sits there, and he does not sit, but he'll listen to the meditation, the sound of the voices and the way they're speaking. So my youngest grandson was 6 when he called the helpline. And he got the support he needed, and he really likes it. So it's like, it's not just for teens and children and parents. It's there to provide for anybody struggling with that emotional and mental and just everyday living. Right now, we're struggling with this evilness that's going on right now in our communities and our kidnappings that are being taken, because of political things, our families that are being broken and ripped apart, the pain that's being caused, the trauma that's affecting our children, kids, families being torn apart. The helpline is there to support them. The helpline is there. And that's one of the great things about the helpline, is that no matter what it is you're going through, you can call, and there's no 15-minute limit. There's no thank you for calling, have a good day. There's always a follow-up, and that's what I like.
Wow.
I like knowing that someone's going to reach back out if they feel I didn't end that call, perfectly, if there was some hesitation.
So you feel like they truly, genuinely care.
Absolutely.
Ricky, what are your plans now that you just graduated from high school?
I was going to go into trade school to do electrician.
Oh, that's great.
Well, oh my goodness.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. Ricky, what would you say to politicians who have the power over this budget and whether or not to continue funding the California Parent and Youth Helpline?
To give us the money to pay for it.
Yeah.
And because it would save lots of lives. Because I know it saved mine.
Well, Dr. Harris, it's so powerful to hear Antonia and Ricky talk about how this line, just calling this line, saved their lives. I mean, to hear Ricky say it saved his life, and Antonia, she's a better mother now. She's contributing to her community. I mean, this is a life-changing service.
And the fact that it is a service that doesn't take very long, 30 minutes on average, and that it can still be effective, that's a big deal. There are very few mental health interventions out there that can meet people exactly at the moment when they need help. And 30 minutes later, they walk away and they're feeling better. So I think that that's part of what's both exciting about helplines as a resource, and also really perplexing about the idea of cutting them. Why would you cut something that really is extremely cost effective and an upstream strategy? It just doesn't make any sense.
And Dr. Lisa, that's what I was thinking about, is if these lines are cut, people will have no choice but to call 988. And there's understaffing and underfunding to 988. CBS reported that just one suicide prevention center in Los Angeles receives 20,000 calls and texts a month. They can't keep up.
Absolutely. I think that, again, these are very cost effective and proven effective services. And it's woven in this way that does not have an impact on the budget. I want to make that point again. The funding for the California Parent Youth Helpline, and I will include Cal Hope, was supposed to be taken out of the Behavioral Health Services Fund that is sitting there for the purposes of mental health and has billions of dollars in it. These budget requests were not going to affect the deficit. It's not coming from the general fund. So it's coming from what's called the millionaire's tax in California. So if we're whole, my question to the government is, if you have billions of dollars sitting there, why aren't you investing it in those effective helplines? Ours included, CalHOPE, et cetera. And again, you know, many people are afraid to call anything that starts with 9. And Tony, I know, has told me that. I've met people in the community right now. They think that, you know, the police will show up and they're ICE or they're the FBI, or I can't ask for help from these people because anything that looks like it starts with a number 9 is the government. Or, you know, you see things on T with people coming out with a shotgun and stopping people at the bus stop. So all those fears impact the very fabric. And what Liz was saying again, you know, when you Google parent help, we are the number one that comes up. We've been doing this for, as Parents Anonymous, been around 56 years. And we are very dedicated to measuring the effectiveness of what we do, saving lives, saving money. This is a small request, $3 million out of a fund that has billions. I mean, I wish I had 15 million. Thank you, CalHOPE. And they are my mentor looking towards those numbers. But all these systems really depend on one another. So, you know, people may not call 988 because they're afraid. They might not call 911 because 911 is not qualified to deal with a mental health issue. And they're not prevention numbers. They're not like, I'm struggling. We have parents calling us who their kids are being bullied at school and the school is ignoring them. Mm-hmm. We have parents calling this because they were raped by a neighbor but won't report it to the police and worried their children will be raped and they can't move out of their own house. We have kids who want to switch schools because there's been a bomb threat or a child has died of a drug overdose and they're so depressed they don't want to go to school tomorrow. And I know that's happened in Antonia's community and our communities around us have been suffering with fentanyl deaths that are just shocking. Parents are in shock and the schools are in shock and the kids are in shock. And the impact on our well-being is devastating. It is not a one and done. It affects our body, our mind, our soul, and we want to be there for the long term. And I know CalHOPE and other centers want to be there for the long term to provide, as Antonia said, to deal with these traumas. It's not a snap of the fingers. It's not a, oh, you'll be okay. Just take a hot bath. It's going to go away. Or as Ricky said, I was just getting ignored. In Parents Anonymous, we say asking for help is a sign of strength. We believe when you reach out as a parent, child, or youth of any age, a grandmother, an auntie, your boyfriend's kids who come on the weekend who seem like they don't want to talk to anybody, they have no friends. We want parents to keep up their radar on what's going on with their own self and all their children. And all our children are different and have different needs. So parents can call about all those issues. There's not one and done. You don't have to be, you know, have a child under 5 or just have a teenager. We deal with parents with any age children. And that's also breaking down those barriers that we have. And there are plenty of barriers because there's a lot of stigma. Parents, number one, and Antonia will explain this to you, don't want to say I need help because the first thing they're going to say is, what's the matter with you? We might need to take your child away. Not how can we help? When we answer the helpline, the first thing we say is good morning, good afternoon. Thank you for calling the California Parent and Youth Helpline. How can we help? Every single counselor, and we have people do answering in the middle of the night or during the day, say the same thing and stop to listen, support, and do that emotional support that's needed. That's very complex. It's not just a one and done. And people have lots of issues and need to call back. We get letters from people saying, I use you more than I'm on the waiting list for a therapist who might be really great. They don't have the therapist yet, or they have nobody in their area because they live in rural parts of California and nobody will take their insurance or take Medi-Cal, right? Yeah. So the resources are just, you think they're all there, but they're not. And putting back this money today would be a great idea. Tomorrow, we're not stopping. And before they take recess on July 18th, the legislature needs to think about every one of their citizens who are suffering, as Mark said, about immigration issues, the fires. During the fires, I just want to tell you, our helpline, 366% increase in calls, texts, and contacts right after the fire started in LA. And we were also at the convention center. We've done events in the Eaton Fire Relief. We have talked to kids who had to move schools, who aren't near their friends and feel depressed and isolated providing them with blankets and beanies and hand sanitizers, and the ongoing work of the helpline. We were there with Spanish speakers. We can talk to people in 240 languages. And so if you're in the doctor's office or on the bus, you can live chat us. You can text us. You might not be able to call. And that's really important that people feel comfortable, feel safe, as Antonia said, and Ricky said, don't get pushed aside.
Dr. Lisa, we're almost out of time. We're getting a lot of emails from listeners who want to know what they can do.
Call the governor. Call the governor's office. And also call your state or assembly member. You can look them up by your zip code. You can contact State Senator Wiener, who is the head of the budget committee and is right in San Francisco. Assemblyman Jesse Gabriel, who is in the Van Nuys San Fernando Valley in LA. They are the chairman who put the money in that on the 13th of June, the legislature passed, that the governor over a week later decided to remove from this fund that, I repeat, has no impact on the deficit of California. That is other money, what we call general fund. This is not coming from there. So if we have billions sitting there, you as a citizen should demand that those billions need to be put into the effective helplines that exist today that you depend on or just found out about and want to use.
And Mark Salazar, final thoughts from you. We have about 30 seconds.
Oh, thank you. And just kind of reiterate what Dr. Lisa is saying. Call the governor, call your representatives, call Senator Wiener, call Assembly Member Gabriel. They're the folks that put the money in. And this is a non-deficit ask. It's Behavioral Health Services Fund, millionaire stack. So if any caller has the time and the place to do it, please, please, please contact them. We need your help. This safety net of the warm lines, the Parents Anonymous lines, all these lines need your help so that we can help and continue supporting our communities, be it rural, be it urban, any type of community at this point. We need your help. We still have time. Please, please do reach out to them.
Mark Salazar is president and CEO of the Mental Health Association of San Francisco, which runs the Warm Line. Dr. Lisa Payan Berlin is CEO of Parents Anonymous. They oversee the California Parent and Youth Helpline. Dr. Liz Harris led a study of 281 helpline calls from parents to the California Parent and Youth Helpline. 85% of callers experienced improved mood and reduced stress. Mark, Dr. Lisa, and Dr. Harris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Antonia Rios and her son, Ricky, greatly benefited from using the California Parent and Youth Helpline. Antonia and Ricky, we really appreciate you sharing your story, and we'd love to have you back to continue these important conversations. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.